Today on Real Life Radio.
This is so serious. The unpardonable sin is to live your life and to throw off the conviction of God, to throw off the love of God, to say you don't need Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross, and it's to die in your sins.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, When Kingdoms Collide. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could do. Here now we'll continue in chapter 11 as we consider how the ministry of Jesus here on earth was well predicted in the Old Testament, where demon possession and satanic influence collide with the power of God. You see, in this chapter, two kingdoms are in conflict, and Jesus will draw the line between these two worlds. When it comes to the spirit world, there is no neutral ground, and there's no place for impartial onlookers. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that we have to choose a side. As humans, we have the responsibility of choice. Are we for God and believe in his awesome power, or are we against him, having been deceived by the powers of Satan? There is no middle ground. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you struggle with evidence that God exists, I got to point you to a current featured resource, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now with his message called When Kingdoms Collide, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And then point number two, verses 17 to 20, it's this. We'll see increasing deception. But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. Jesus is making a reference to the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of Satan. Now this is 2,000 years old. Evil is advancing. Deception's increasing. And one of the things that we need to write down, and boy, is this going to strike a nerve, is the deception of unity. What did you say? That's why it's on the screen. Write it down. You will see increasing deception, a deceptive unity. What do I mean by that? Jesus, 2,000 years ago, said every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Well, wait a minute. Satan is still very alive and well on planet Earth, isn't he? Every day I seem to wake up, there's a new cult knocking on my door. The kingdom doesn't look like it's being divided. It looks like that evil kingdom is expanding. Ah, that's exactly what Jesus said would happen before it implodes. Jesus said, Matthew 24, mark it down, Matthew 24, verses 4 through 5. In fact, I'm going to read a bunch of verses. Matthew 24, beginning there. Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many, Matthew 24, 10. And then many will be offended and will betray one another and will hate one another. And many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Matthew 24, 24. For false Christs and false prophets will arise, listen, and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We have not seen those days yet. 1 John 4, 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world, and by this we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ, that is, Jesus is Messiah, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that he is not come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. You guys, Matthew 24, 24, I read it a moment ago. Listen to this. He said that false Christ and false prophets will come and do signs and wonders, that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. If you've had first year Greek on this, you have a smile on your face. You want to know why? You don't look at it and go, oh no, I hope I don't get deceived. Oh. There will be those coming performing great signs and wonders that if it were, what? Yeah. Even the very elect would be deceived. The word means it's impossible for God's children to be deceived. Thank you, Lord. With all, yeah, you can thank God for that. But you guys, listen up. I believe, based upon the Bible, what year is this? If the Lord doesn't come back for us right now, I would expect to see grotesque, bizarre, amazing signs and wonders on the near horizon, done in the name of other gods and other religions. Are you going to be led astray? You will be if you're not one of God's kids. Jesus said that days will increase of deception so great that if the Spirit of God wasn't protecting his children, they would be deceived. And I would expect soon to turn on my TV and begin to watch people performing radical, bizarre signs and wonders in the name of some god or gods. And I'm wondering how some of you will fare when such temptations come. You need to have your Bible in your heart like never before. You will not survive the days of evil that are coming. Great deception. Signs and wonders. Imagine for a moment if you needed a healing, but down the road was a man preaching another gospel about some other Messiah and healing people, and yet you needed a healing. Would you cash in your love for God to go get temporal healing? Imagine, think about it. Easy to say right now, but what if? Those days are coming. Unity, deceiving unity. See, wait a minute, unity. How can anything be wrong with unity? Church, very quickly, we live in a culture that has so divorced itself from reason. About 35 years ago, someone concocted a new definition for the word tolerance, and it became very popular. They left the whole meaning of the word aside, and now we have Europe and America nearly destroyed in its logic because of an ill-defined word of tolerance. Think about it. Those of you who are educators, think about it. I'm all for tolerance in the meaning of the real word. And they're doing it again. Unity, unity, unity at all cost. Unity. Let's just unite. Let's unite all religions. Let's unite. Ecumenical union. Let's lay down our differences. It doesn't matter what you believe about Jesus. Look, I get invited to this stuff all the time. All these different leaders and cult leaders and all this shenanigans, come and pray with us. Come and pray with us. And this person prays to this thing. This person prays to the other thing. I am not going to go to that prayer meeting because the Bible condemns that kind. You say, it's unity, isn't it? Doesn't the Bible say how precious and blessed it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity? Hello, read it. How beautiful it is for the who? Brethren to dwell together in unity. How do brethren dwell together in unity? Number one, the chief thing, truth. See, the world has taken the truth, no matter what it says, and has sacrificed it on the altar of unity. When you begin to adopt that path, anything, everything, whatever feels good, do it as long as you're sincere. It doesn't matter what the Bible says. Jesus, whatever you want him to be, in the name of unity. This is blasphemy, and it's rampant. For some of you, it's the way you're living your life, and Jesus says, no way. Every kingdom divided against itself will fall. The people that knock on your doors and all this religious difference, that's going to come home to roost in time. People who knock on your door, they have a completely different gospel from the other one. Who's right and who's wrong? There's only one way to tell. Go to your Bible.
Well, that's your interpretation.
No, go to your Bible and read the Bible. Let the Bible talk to you. It will talk to you. Read the Bible. You don't need some other book. Read the Bible. What do you need another book for? You haven't read the Bible. Read the Bible. God is well able to speak. Unity, deceiving, it will come. Also, increasing deception in the sense of destruction. If Satan is also divided against himself, and he is, by the way, how will his kingdom stand? I love what Jesus is saying. It's not going to stand. But you guys, listen. If Satan is divided against himself, doesn't he understand that? Doesn't he see that? He doesn't see it. The Bible says that Satan is the father of what? Lies. When a person lies constantly, you know what they wind up doing? Part of the judgment upon their conscience is that they begin to believe their own lies. That's judgment. Did you know that? Oh, the fish was that big, man. It was that big. When you've never been fishing in your life, but it was that big. You begin to see it. You begin to smell it. You even ate it. Because your lie perpetuates in your mind. And you get deceived. People around you are thinking, saying, what an idiot. He didn't know what he's talking about. The guy's never even held a fishing rod. But you tell a lie, you tell a lie, you tell a lie, and then it becomes a reality to you. Satan, if he's the father of lies, can lie so much, I think he believes his own propaganda. You and I have read the Bible. We've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. Somehow Satan doesn't see it, though he knows the Bible better than we do. He's been deceived by his own lies. Destruction. Deception will lead to destruction. And you in your life, in my life, will decide destruction or life. Also, we'll see increasing deception. Verse 20, deception will have its day. But if I, Jesus, has cast out demons, listen to this, with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. This is sweet. Jesus is basically saying, if I just devastated the kingdom of darkness with just the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is here among you. They couldn't deny that. Think of the awesomeness of that. You guys, I was speaking, as I said earlier, in Hawaii. We had one day, it was about a 24-hour period that was pretty amazing. We had two local earthquakes in Hawaii, 5-point-something or other, and the other one was 5-something or other, I don't know. Two earthquakes. We had a hurricane come by, and then they issued a warning, a tsunami warning, at 2 a.m. in the morning because of the earthquake in Lima, Peru. And if that wasn't enough, coming through last night or whenever, I forget when I got home, doesn't matter. Coming through, landing at LAX, walking out of the airport, almost out. You know where you go through security to come in, but we're walking out. And somebody yells. Somebody just yells. I don't know what they yell, but they yelled. And the TSA guys, they stood up and they said, "Stand still!" Hundreds of people just froze. You could have heard a pin drop. Nobody talked. It was a pretty eerie, actually. Everyone stood still, and you can hear walkie-talkies. Da-da-da. And you know what you think right about then? And you see people looking around. You're waiting for something to pop, something to blow up. Everyone's silent. And you think right then and there, "Lord, are we okay, you and I? Are we doing good? Just checking." You don't know what's going on in the world at any moment. Listen, deception will have its day. You can build a world around you, even in the sense of condemning Jesus and calling him names and saying things about him. But what will you do in the end? Jesus is saying the kingdom of God has come upon you.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Increasing deception in the world. Point number three, very quickly, you'll find yourself in the fight. Worlds in collision, kingdoms colliding, you'll find yourself in a fight. And every one of us right now are in a fight. Believe it or not, verses 21 to 23, Jesus gives a powerful illustration. Follow it carefully. Listen. Number one, Satan is our enemy. "See, I don't believe in Satan." Well, brother, does he have you duped? He's got you in a great spot if you don't believe in him. It's kind of like where America is. We're not at war. No one wants to hurt us. Keep thinking a happy thought. Satan hates you. God loves you. Satan can't stand your guts. You know why Satan hates you so much? He's not personally so excited about you. He's not so excited about me. You know why he hates you and I so much? There's one reason. Because God loves you so much. The amount of his hatred towards you is intense. Not equal to, but is intense. Because of God's great love for you. And he hates you and I because God loves you and I so much. And the only way that he can inflict pain in the heart of God is to hurt you, is to get to you. He's our enemy. Jesus has no enemy. Think about it. It's not Jesus and Satan, Jesus and Satan. Who's going to win? Jesus has no equal. Now, Michael, Gabriel, those are Satan's equals, those angels. Jesus says this carefully. When a strong man, that's Satan, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace, or his goods are kept. Whoever Satan's got control of, he doesn't let go of them. He hangs on to them, wraps up their tongues, blinds their lives, causes it so they can't believe. pursues their own stuff, won't come to God. Oh, listen, Satan's strong, all right. He is our enemy. But verse 22 says Jesus is the victor. But when a stronger than he comes, oh, choose one, the strong or the stronger. The stronger one comes, that's the reference to the Lord himself, comes upon him and overtakes him and takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. What's Jesus saying is awesome. Satan has bound people up, but there's one stronger and that one who liberates. He's trying to get these guys that are attacking him to see. That's a loving thing. Satan has limited power. He has power, there's no doubt about it. Look, Satan is way more powerful than us. That's why, look, you guys, don't ever please. Nowhere in the Bible does it say to rebuke Satan. Did you know that? Have you ever seen people say, I rebuke you, Satan, I rebuke you. I rebuke you. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can do that. What are you doing? Can you imagine? I rebuke you, Satan. You imagine he could just go, he could knock you out. He's powerful. The Bible says, say, the Lord rebukes you, Satan. Big difference. Big difference. He's our enemy. We call upon the Lord, and the Lord will say to you, don't be surprised, what's bigger than a boo-boo? Are you scared? Boo! What's bigger than a boo-boo? The kisses of my Father, the love of my Father. Are you hurt? Jesus gets on his knees and he opens his arms and you run to him and he kisses you. And let me tell you something. There's no more powerful place in the universe to be than in that place of hanging on to him, because Jesus is the victor. And verse 23 teaches us that we're in the crossfire of eternity. Jesus says, verse 23, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. And this is it. This verse is one of the most beloved and hated verses of the Bible. Jesus said, you are either fully devoted to me or you're not. But Lord Jesus, I've got one foot in and one foot in there, and I'm doing the splits between my flesh and the world and being a Christian. And I'm a Christian on Sunday. I'm an angel on Sunday. Jesus said, listen, in fact, he says, you know what? I wish you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to puke you out of my mouth. I'm going to vomit you out. Don't say it, but can you say this morning, I am fully committed to God? Yes, that's a struggle. Yes, we don't always do the things that we should be doing. But what's your heart like when you don't do those things that you should be doing? Aren't you miserable? Don't you just get sick with me about how often we goof up? But you know what? God bless you. You're alive unto God. But church, listen, don't think that you can get to heaven with one foot in one kingdom and one foot in the other kingdom. You've deceived yourself. It won't happen. Satan's our enemy, but Jesus is the victor. Yes, we're in the crossfire of eternity. You need to choose. You're in the fight of your life. What will you choose? Yes, last service, a man came up to me and he says, I want Christ. I go, are you sure? He says, I want Christ. I go, if he was knocking at the door right now of this building, would you open up or would you look out the window and keep him outside? He goes, I'd open up. I go, then let's pray. What about you right now? If Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart right now saying, listen, you got to accept me. 100% say yes to me now. He's not saying, clean up yourself and come to me. Don't get messed up with that trick. We'll hear about that in a moment. Don't think like that. Don't think that you got to better yourself to come to the kingdom or you got to do this or that to get, no, come now. Isn't it amazing that you can be 100% devoted right now to Jesus? Just in your heart and mind say, Jesus, save me. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I want you now. And you come to him. It takes a second. But you're in the crossfire of eternity, you and I. Satan's pulling to blind us, and Jesus is pulling to hug us. He said, are you with me? Are you gathering? Is your life involved in the things of the kingdom? Or wherever you go, are you scattering stuff? Are people confused and hurt and quieted and led astray? Fourth and final point, verses 24 to 26. I know we have no minutes left, but I'll go fast. You'll have to make the decision, my friend. Verses 24 to 26 is all about decision. Three things. Number one, morality. Morality can never save you. This is the number one killer of the souls of men, is morality. Don't get me wrong. I appreciate every moral citizen in our community. I'm grateful for you. I'm glad you don't write on walls with paint cans and drive 100 miles an hour in the 20 zone. I'm glad you're law-abiding. I'm glad you pick up your own trash. But you can't get to heaven doing that. Morality cannot save you. Jesus said when an unclean or demon spirit leaves a man, he goes through dry places. Go study that later. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the flood of Noah. They don't like to be near water. Isn't that weird? They go to desert places, dry places, seeking rest, finding none. He says to himself, I will return to my house. Excuse me? He thinks that this person's body is his. I'm going to go back to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. The word is morality. He comes back to a person that has said things. Listen quickly. He has said things like this. You know what? It's December 31st. That's it. I'm not wearing these kind of clothes anymore. I'm going to start brushing my teeth. I'm going to do the speed limit. I'm going to start being nice, and I'm not going to eat at this place anymore. I'm going to eat the salads, and I'm going to do all these things. Great. But don't expect to go to heaven because of those things. Number two, spirituality. Spirituality can never protect you against demonic activity. Then he goes and takes to him seven other demons more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell in him. This is terrifying. Spirituality can never protect you against demonic activity. Yeah, but I got a cross around my neck. Oh boy. You guys remember Walter Martin? Anybody? Man, that guy's... He used to have a huge cross around his neck, but he always made it a point to say, this doesn't save me or protect me. A cross will not, icons cannot protect you. Do you have Jesus Christ dwelling in you? Spirituality, you can buy all the crystals you want. It's not going to help you. There's only one name, and that's the name of Jesus. And finally, we end neutrality. You have to make a decision, my friend, because neutrality can never deliver you. And the last condition of the man is worse than the first. Wow. Neutrality. I'm just going to be neutral on this stuff. I'm not going to make a decision. Please don't do that. I'm going to ask you right now to think about these things. Isn't it amazing this morning? In a moment, you're going to be leaving. And in the spirit realm where you and I cannot see, you're going to be going and removes, as it were, your faces from you. And they're blank. As we leave, there are those who are in the kingdom of God, and those, even maybe ignorantly, are in the kingdom of darkness. And I want to ask you, where are you? Let's pray, and I want you to decide. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, and we ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, serious stuff. We can say, well, we got holy water. We can say we've got church attendance. Maybe we can say we have a cross or a statue. But your Bible tells us clearly that if we know Christ, and Christ knows us, if we've accepted him, Jesus said, if you're born again, the Bible makes it very clear that we are the temple of the living God, and he dwells in us. My friend, this morning there have been things that you've been dabbling in, and you need to get away from it. The Bible condemns, do you know this? The Bible condemns palm reading. Oh, you're spiritual, but you're going in the wrong direction. The Bible condemns tarot cards and zodiacs and horoscopes. The Bible speaks directly to pantheism, that is, worshiping various gods just to cover your bases. The Bible condemns it. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. Such love, such sacrifice demands your all.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called When Kingdoms Collide. Thanks for being with us today. You know, our message today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when you think about it, God didn't really have to make anything. But when he spoke and everything was created, There was no magic or illusion. And we, being made in His image, as the Bible says, it's safe to say that He really loves us, and He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. So, if you want to get to know the God who created you, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab that's labeled Know God, K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you're going to find out how a truly personal and remarkable relationship with God is actually possible. Remember, you are not here by accident, and God really does love you and care about you. Get that? Again, our resource is called Know God, spelled out K-N-O-W-G-O-D, and you'll find that at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.